The following is a production of Omnis.tv.
On this episode of Revelator, I welcome music guest The Standstills. I'll also cover the top movies at the box office, the Sochi Olympic Games, Valentine's Day ads, music news, and more here on Revelator.
And enjoy the show.
Hey everybody, welcome to Revelator. I'm your host Ryan. Thanks for hanging out with me, and as always, we've got another great broadcast for you. Really awesome band from Canada, The Standstill, stopping by. One of the founders of the band, Johnny, will be stopping in, so definitely hang out for that. Really cool dude, and some really kick-ass tunes, so again, keep it locked here for that. But first off, I want to talk about Valentine's Day. And I know some of the guys out there may be listening, you're like, oh, crap, Valentine's Day. Thank you for you're welcome for the reminder, by the way. Okay, first off, there's a couple things, and then we'll get into some Valentine's Day ads, and then I'm going to spiral that because I'm cool at segues and stuff into a Valentine's Day gift idea. Maybe, you know, but we'll get there. Stick with me. Okay, so when did Valentine's Day turn into a one-day event to like a whole weekend event? I know it falls on a Friday. I get it. It's not a whole weekend thing. It's a made-up holiday. And now it's a made-up holiday that's turned from one day to like a whole week or a weekend. As if the one-day event filled with heart-shaped cookies and overpriced flowers and boxes of chocolates and the fact that it's abbreviated and it's called V-Day. Happy V-Day, everybody. I hope it doesn't hurt the pee in a week. Here's a script for some penicillin. Remember, guys, if she's alone this weekend, make sure, you know, maybe she's had a little too much to drink. She's at the bar feeling a little lonely. She had that prime dinner rib herself. You know, maybe a baked potato and some vegetables on the side. Wrap it up. That's all I'm saying. Happy V-Day to everybody. Okay, now the real reason I wanted to bring up V-Day is the product ads on TV. Now I get the flowers, pro flowers, and the, you know, all the other different things in the box of chocolates and, you know, the special local, you know, restaurants having deals and, you know, having meals and bring your sweetheart here and, you know, here's your, you know, your dinner and your ice cream cake and your romantic, there was a mariachi band or something in the corner. I don't know. But, anyway, the Vermont teddy bear. Okay. Maybe you haven't seen this. Maybe you have. I don't know. But, this ad is absolutely ridiculous. It starts off by, gentlemen, you know, size makes the difference. Okay. Well, in a lot of cases, it does. But not when it comes to a 4-foot freaking teddy bear. I don't know any adult woman that's like, you know what I really want for Valentine's Day is a 4-foot stuffed animal. Okay? And this ad suggests that getting this gift will make you stand out and will surely get you laid. Your reward for this big, huge, massive stuffed bear is sex. And lots of sex. This 4-foot teddy bear will sit in the corner and blankly stare as you finally get that blowjob you've been looking for. Okay? Now, I don't know. It's only $99, according to the ad. And I wonder whether or not it comes with a strap-on or not. For, you know, because the bear, it says right in the ad, the bear will keep her company while you're away. You know? So, I mean, you know, it's furry, it's fuzzy. And, you know, the woman is wearing this nice little lingerie and it jumps in the bed with the bear and hugs it and she's giving it a sexy, sexy eyes like, oh, I love you, stuffed bear. Thank you so much, honey, for that 4-foot stuffed animal that I have nowhere to put after this day. Come here and let me have sex with you because I love my 4-foot stuffed bear. Oh, Jesus, unbelievable. And if you've seen this ad, you know what I'm talking about. It's absolutely ridiculous. And I talked to my wife about this. And she was like, her first thing when I mentioned it, she was like, you're not buying that stupid effing thing, are you? I was like, well, absolutely not. Are you crazy? You know me better than that, right? Mike, what would you do if you bought your wife a 4-foot stuffed animal?
Would that be before or after I saw my suicide note?
Either way.
Dude, that thing costs $100.
It's a $100 stuffed animal.
What are you, like, 8 years old?
I know, but I don't, I mean, it basically, they say, without saying it, it guarantees sex. So, I mean, you know, I guess if, you know, I don't know. I you know.
Size does matter.
Right, size, get the big bear, gentlemen, if you're You know, if your barrel is short, get the big bear, I guess is the way to, that's the moral of the story there. But, speaking of, interesting, you know, or if you don't want to go the big stuffed animal route, maybe you can go this way. Forget coffee in the morning and waking up, you know, to those annoying buzzing alarm clocks. This is called the Vibe and Go, the Vibe and Wake, the Wake and Vibe. It's a vibrating alarm clock. Hybrid, where women can actually put it in their panties, and when the time comes, they can set it, and it'll actually go off in the morning and vibrate on their genitals. You know, it's basically a built-in vibrator, but also has six different levels of vibration. You know, so that way, you know, but also, you know, it does warn you to not stay, you know, not to stay in bed too long when the time goes off. I don't know if it comes with a snooze button or not. I bet you probably don't hit the snooze button on that particular alarm clock. You just let it go for the 10 minutes. Good way to start the morning, I guess, if you're into that kind of thing. I guess it probably could be a little addictive as well. The device also comes with a manual mode, so it comes with a remote as well, just in case maybe you wake up early, you're having a restless night, and you're like, man, the alarm clock doesn't go off. You know, you're laying there and you're like, oh, man, the alarm clock goes off in 15 minutes. You're like, you know, you have, if you have the waking vibe, you just say, you know what, heck with it. You grab the remote and, you know, jumpstart your morning early, so to speak. And I found the music for their ad, and I'll play it for you here. This is good. The Wake Up Vibrator features six erotic vibration patterns that process the following: fast pulsation, long pulsation, slower pulses combined with fast pulses and repeats, medium pulses with one long pulse and repeats. It also has a short and long pulse and repeats again, one long and then short. The Wake Up Vibe, surely a wonderful Valentine's Day gift for any suspecting young lady. If we move on tonight, I was debating whether to talk about this one, but I figured, what the hell, right? This takes place in Iowa. Not a lot of news comes out of Iowa, at least, you know, the crazy stories that we do, but this one is, this is different. A woman is actually heading to jail for 7 years because she put up a wanted ad on Craigslist for someone to kill her father. That's smart. She got, you know, the district judge there sentenced her to 7 years in jail. The 23-year-old Megan Schmidt of Dubuque, Iowa, pled guilty in November by using interstate commerce facilities in the commission of murder for hire. I guess she put the ad on Craigslist saying that it was a one-time job for $10,000. A man actually responded to the ad and said that she wanted her father dead and that it would probably be best to either shoot or stab him because he is a bigger man. That gentleman at that point went to the authorities, and the authorities actually entered, you know, obviously did a sting investigation and obviously busted her with, you know, trying to hire someone for 10 grand to kill her dad. I think it's probably best to stab him or shoot him because he's a bigger guy. Well, I mean, obviously she thought it out, you know? That's like one of those things you see, like a really bad, like, comedy thing. Like, you know, dude, how do we kill, you know, our boss or whoever, you know, the movie Horrible Bosses, you know? They're like, we'll put an ad out, you know? We'll put an ad on the Craigslist. We'll find out, you know, somebody can do some wet work for us, you know? Jesus. Wonder if her and the singer of As They Lay Dying have ever met, you know? You remember that guy who tried to kill his wife, you know? Unbelievable, man. What is going on here, you know? I mean, the divorce rate's pretty high in this country. I think that, you know, they made it pretty easy now, I think. You know, there's no reason to go killing off your spouses or your... You know, if you don't like your father, I mean, you know, it's not Darth Vader or anything, right? Jesus. I mean, can it be that bad? My gosh. You know, just move away or something. Just, you know, deal with it. Go to therapy or something. I don't know. Don't hire... You know, you might as well stand on the side of the road. You know, the sign says... I need someone to kill someone for me. You know, that's basically what you did there. Ah, boy. Moving on, let's take a look at the top movies at the box office this week. Starting with number 10 and working our way up to number 1. Number 10, the movie Labor Day at $3.1 million. Jack Ryan's Shadow Recruit, 3.5 million. The Nut Job sinking fast at 3.7. Vampire Academy, opening up at only 3.9 million. That Awkward Moment, 5.2 million. Lone Survivor, getting great reviews, 5.5 million. In 7 weeks at the box office, has made $112 million. The movie Frozen, still in the top five, 12 weeks at the box office, making $368 million. Great film. If you have a young one, and even if you don't have a young one, you want to see a really amazing animated film, I recommend you going to see Frozen. The movie Ride Along, I don't know why people find Kevin Hart funny, I really don't. 9.5 million. The Monuments Men at 22 million. And number one movie this weekend, which looks like a really, really great movie, The Lego Movie at $69 million in its opening weekend. Unbelievable stuff. Take a look at music news here. The release date for Crosses, a self-titled debut album, was actually released this week, February 11th, and you can listen to the full stream album on Pitchfork Media. Now, the band Crosses features vocalist Chino from the Deftones. It also says that the loss of his bandmate Chi this year kind of triggered this new project, and that he would be taking a break from the Deftones for at least one full year. He says at that point, obviously we plan on doing another album with the Deftones. He's like, I just feel like, you know, we did the tour, we did the album, we did, you know, we're going to take a break, and I want to do, he's obviously doing Crosses, a little bit different, music for him, kind of step back. And, he said at some point, you know, in the new year, the guys will get together, they'll, you know, all get jammed together and write some new material. But right now he's taking a break from the Deftones, concentrating on the new project, which is called Crosses, which, you can hear, streaming on Pitchfork Media, and it came out February 11th for purchase as well. Motley Crue, we didn't get a chance to cover this last week. Motley Crue announces their final tour. They actually signed legal documents saying that the band will not tour beyond 2015, making this truly their final tour. Now, also on their farewell tour will be Alice Cooper as the opening act, and of course, Orianthe, young lady we've had the pleasure of having on the show twice now here on Revelator, the guitarist for Alice Cooper will be a part of that venue. So that's going to be a good bill. You had Orianthe, Alice Cooper, and Motley Crue on the final tour there. The tour starts July 2nd in Michigan and will end in Vancouver sometime in November of 2014. And yeah, it should be a good show. I don't know how much tickets are. I imagine they're not going to be overly cheap, but if you're a Motley Crue fan, this is your last shot. Also, some really cool spring tours coming up here I want to talk about as well. And that is another past guest of ours, the band Silver, will be a part of the Revolver Hottest Women of Rock and Roll Tour featuring I Set to Kill, Sick Puppies, who will be next week's guest on the show, by the way. And also, the headliner of that particular bill is going to be Lacuna Coil in support of their new record as well. Also, another past guest on tour with some really awesome bands. That is the guys from Digital Summer will be hitting the road once again. These guys are always on the road. You got to give those guys credit. They'll be on the road again with Trivium, and the headliner will be Volbeat. Again, those are some spring tours to definitely keep tabs on if you're looking to see some shows before the summertime. And price-wise, it looks like those tickets are going to be pretty reasonable as well. Bands working on some new material you may be interested in, that is Godstack, Mastodon, Framing Hayley, Seether, and also Chevelle is set to release a new album in April. Some other ones we'll get to next week, but those are a couple notable bands that are right now in the studio working on new material. The Framing Hayley stuff I'm interested in hearing and see what direction those guys go. And obviously Mastodon, I mean, those guys are you know, class act metal band in the last 10 to 15 years, hands down. Now, let's take a look. This week in music history. The 50th anniversary of the Beatles appearing on the Ed Sullivan Show was this week. Also on also this week, celebrating what would have been a birthday, was bassist Cliff Burton from Metallica. On the same day, coincidentally enough, Mike, I sent this to you on Twitter, and this week in 1992, Pantera released Vulgar Display of Power. Wow. 1992. Unbelievable. That album's been around as long as it's been. A timeless album. Still a great CD to put in today. Also in this week in music history, in 1978, saw these two releases. That is Van Halen's self-titled album, Van Halen, and also Judas Priest's Stained Glass, also released in this week. And this has been...
This Week in Music History!
history. Now, coming up on the show, in just a moment, we have Johnny from the Standstills will be joining us. So stick around for that. But right now, let's start this off. It's a double shot from the Standstills, led off with Black Betty here on Revelator.
Just That is the Standstills here on Revelator, and that is Jesus. And before that, we heard their cover of Black Betty, which I really dig as well. Right now, I'm joined by Johnny from the band. Johnny, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, thanks.
It's good to hear, man. I got a couple things. First off, I think the your guys' cover of Black Betty kind of hints at some of your musical influences, and we can kind of get into that a little bit more. But I want to talk about the other song we heard, which is Jesus. And I encourage anyone who has not seen the video to go check the video, because I absolutely love the video, man. It's absolutely hysterical. I thought it was a riot, man.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
Now, is that you dressed up in the video, or is that like a friend or someone? Or
yeah, well, yeah, it's not me, unfortunately, but it's actually a good friend of ours. He's a comedian out of Toronto. His name's Chris Allen. And so we, like, the whole concept of the video and everything that has to do with it, like, we met up with the guy. We had we wanted to do something a little different because it's a pretty heavy topic. So we kind of came up with this idea of doing this kind of street performer Jesus kind of, like, mixed with, like, moves that you'd see from the crowd at Woodstock type of thing.
Right.
So, yeah, it ended up actually being, we were really, really happy with the outcome of it.
There's a part in the video, and again, I encourage anyone, listening to go, definitely go check the video out. But there's a part of the video where he's on a street corner next to a fire hydrant, and it looks like there's like a father and son possibly walking by, and they and they kind of look at him. They don't really acknowledge him. They just kind of like scurry by as fast as possible, head down, you know, and it's
You know what, man? It was really funny filming that. We were there for everything with this crew, this camera crew, just a few people. But what we did is we kind of like hid amongst other people on the street, and we thought it was going to be like one of these situations where like we would have to kind of blur people's faces, because once you got going, you know, we thought it was hysterical, but people just stood clear. Like they would just ignore it. Like it was just something that happens every day. And I mean, like we had that stereo, he's got the stereo with him. We had that stereo peaking the whole time. Like you could hear the song playing like a couple blocks away. And people were just like, it was like they were scared or something, but they just didn't know what to make of it. So there's a lot of times you'll see him on the street, and it was actually busy that day, but everyone would like cross the street to get away from him, which is funny because it's Jesus. Like,
right.
It's like, I don't know if that's kind of weird that, you know, like, but, it was just one of those things. So that guy, I think it was a guy and his girlfriend, and they were getting groceries. And they just like, they were like trying to get past him as quick as possible.
Right.
We were just dying laughing. We were like, we couldn't believe it. But yeah, if you haven't seen the video, definitely check that video out.
Yeah, it's definitely worth a watch. And I watched it a couple times because there's a lot going on there with people in the background. I'm a big people watcher anyway. So just watching people's reactions, even in the background and stuff, just like their body language is absolutely hysterical. I love it, man. Well done on the video. Now, getting back to, you know, your musical influences, you know, I alluded to earlier with the cover of Black Betty. Now, is there any like certain thing, you know, as a youth, that kind of sparked it for you musically?
Yeah, for me, it was grunge, the '90s grunge. That was it for me. Like, I remember growing up, and I was still really young. I have three older brothers. So I was just listening to what they would be listening to. And then just kind of like at one point, it just seemed like the whole world changed, you know, and grunge just took over everything. And then at that point was when I picked up a guitar and I just started self-teaching myself how to play like Nirvana songs by ear. And I, you know, I just loved it. And, you know, everybody I knew was into it. And we were still like, I mean, I was really young, but I, you know, even the young people could get into it because the songs were so easy, you know?
Yeah, I think that whole movement, I was relatively young at that time too, and you look back at that era, you know, and it's hard to believe some of those albums from Nirvana and Soundgarden and the Melvins and, you know, Mudhoney and Mother Love Bone and heck, even Pearl Jam afterwards, you know, some of those albums being, you know, 20 years old, you know, that's unbelievable to think of. And still timeless music. I mean, listen to any modern rock, they're still playing the same. I mean, I love Nirvana, all apologies, but, you know, it's time to step aside a little bit and make some room for some bands like yourself and others to get some play. But is there any bands or music that you're kind of into now that, you kind of listen to when you're not writing music?
I'm into all sorts of stuff. Like, to tell you the truth, I really love vintage stuff as well as a lot of new stuff. For me, a lot of my influences first come from kind of the sound of the guitar. So I'm big into a lot of hardcore bands, but not maybe what some people would consider hardcore. Like, there were some bands, Canadian bands, they're not around anymore, but this guy out of Canada called Ian Blurton, he had a band called Come On that I really liked. And he was also, I think he was partly involved with this other band in Montreal called Bionic. And these were the type of bands that, you know, I still saw like years ago, but they were kind of against the grain. And I still feel like they're against the grain it was kind of like they just did what they wanted to do. So that, to me, that's always something that's fresh and new, because a lot of people don't know it. And a lot of people, you know, haven't had the chance to rip it off. Not to say, you know, like, it's definitely worth, like, for me, it's exciting stuff because it's not being played on, like, a million times a day on every radio station and whatnot. But, yeah, that type of stuff to me excites me a lot. And there's another two-piece out of Canada that I just kind of stumbled upon, Indian Handcrafts, that I thought was pretty cool. Renee and I checked them out in Toronto not too long ago. And, so it's mostly like it's kind of heavier stuff, like heavier guitars, like you can really hear the tubes being driven in the instrument, and which kind of lends itself to a more retro type of feel, but it's a new take on a retro type of sound, I guess, is how I would describe it.
No, I think that's a good take, man. And you mentioned, obviously, you guys are a two-piece, you and Renee, and there's a couple other two-piece bands we've had on, the Gravel Tones from London. I'm not sure if you're familiar with those guys at all, but different sound, but still, you know, you guys predominantly that kind of like that just really heavy guitar-driven rock sound, which I really dig. Now, the meeting between you and Renee, I want to get into. In your bio, I think it's pretty funny. You guys met over an argument. Do you recall any specifics of the argument and how you guys met?
Well, I mean, we were friends and stuff. Well, kind of more of acquaintances, and I guess it just kind of started because funny enough, we were watching Bionic at that show, and we were both really into the music, you know. And I think that we're both very passionate people when it comes to music, and sometimes that passion gets a little heated. So, you know, we start to it kind of just started. I don't remember who started it, but we just we got into kind of what, like, she was telling me what she believes is like the best type of music and what is the most exciting type of bands, and you know, I had my opinions about the same, and we found most of it like it was the same, you know, like what kind of was the driving force for our own individual passion to get into the arts in the first place. And so it just kind of like, it was one of those moments where it kind of just got heated to the point where it's like, you know what, like I personally felt like, you know, this person definitely knows or feels what I'm feeling. And And so it just kind of stemmed from there. Right. And then so that was 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. And the argument still continues.
What's the most recent argument you've had?
Mostly the Bionic, the band that we saw.
Still arguing about that for you. Yeah. Hello.
We still have the same argument every single day. You know, I'm actually very tired most of the time. Right.
That's absolutely hilarious, man. Now, yeah, obviously, you guys a little tension, but obviously, friends, obviously get along, and you guys are obviously writing some good tunes. Do you recall, the first, writing sessions as well? Was there kind of a mutual respect there, or even a little tension where it just kind of fed off one another, and that's where the energy comes from on the songs?
Yeah, I mean, the whole writing process, when it first started, we recorded the first song that we jammed. And it was just kind of, I think we just both really were kind of focusing on the end result. Like, there wasn't much talking. We just literally was just kind of playing. And then we just kind of got into a certain pattern and then just kind of made something work. And then the end result was that we were just like, hey, we should probably record this. And then we recorded it. But, I mean, the writing process and how we create and whatnot is pretty, it changes a lot, but I think there's a mutual respect there, and it's always give and take. And I think that, for us, we're just really happy to be playing, I think, ultimately. And so, the give and take, sometimes you got to give a little more. Sometimes you just want to take a little more, but I mean, ultimately, it's looking at just getting something accomplished, and then with the end result, how it feels, and we both really have to be happy with it. So there's a lot of times, we'll throw stuff out if it's just too one-sided, and which is fine because we create a lot. We create a lot of music, and we have a lot of songs that nobody's ever really heard that are on the back burner constantly, but yeah, it's a different process majority of the time, I would say.
Really, my next question, I know you guys, you have two full albums now and the EP you did back in, I believe, 2009. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you guys are kind of in the writing process now. What is it? Do you guys ever come up with, is there like a theme or like a certain agenda? Like, we want to, we got 9 songs, 12 songs we want to work on. And then, is there a certain theme or a certain, energy or something, a style that you want to go with? And then it just kind of morphs from there when you guys both have your different inputs. I mean, what's that process like with the recording of it?
Well, as far as like getting a theme or the process, I think that, I would probably say our last two recordings might have had more of a theme around the end, but it was never kind of the intention from the beginning. And the EP was just kind of like our first kind of step into being a band and whatnot. But for the most part, it's at least at this point right now, it's just really focusing. We're just really focusing on the songs, each individual songs. And I think that's kind of what we did since the beginning and along the way. It's just kind of taking it like that and then looking at all the songs, which ones we'd like to keep, which ones work together within an album, and then just kind of thinking, how this whole body of music, whatever it is, like 35, 40 minutes, how it all feels and like kind of coming up with something at that point. It's definitely like, as far as our sound and stuff and the progression of where we're going is definitely different from the beginning of where we started. We kind of started, as this more kind of rock, straight kind of rock bass type of thing. And we're definitely branching into, taking a lot more chances and pushing ourselves artistically and looking and trying to put each song together as best we can, not that we didn't before, but taking different angles on how to look at it and how to rearrange certain parts and kind of looking at our strengths a little more and pushing on our weaknesses to be stronger and whatnot. It's quite the process, actually.
Right. Well, I think that any good musicians will always, look at their last work, and then say, okay, well, we like what we did here, but let's try to evolve and expand on that sound and maybe add something, to it, or maybe add depth, or whether it's the arrangements or the style or whatever the case may be there that you're looking to expand on. And the album Pushing Electric, I actually went out and the tracks you sent me, I went and got the rest of it, and I really dig it, man. It's really good. I encourage everyone to definitely check it out, and I'm excited to hear what you guys do next. I mean, do you have a time frame on this? I mean, is it just kind of like, we're just going to take our time on this, and if it comes out in 2014 it does, if not, then we'll go from there, kind of thing? Or
yeah, it's we're working on one song right now, and we have a lot of songs written, but we wanted to pace this one out a little bit because we have released a lot of material up to this point for being an independent band for a few years. And I mean, the last album we recorded and produced at home, and it's just, it was a lot of work to put it together, and it took a lot of time because we were doing everything, like recording it all and producing it all and whatnot. So there's a lot of music we feel that people might not have had a chance to pick up yet within our catalog. So we're going to release more new music. I think we're going to take our time a little bit more with it and give people a chance to see us live, book a lot more live shows, and focus a lot on trying to get into some areas that we've yet to come in and play, because when it comes down to it, for us, it's always about the live show. We're always going to be a live band. We love creating music in the studio and songs like that, but I for both of us, it's on the stage is kind of where we live and where we love to be the most. So that's mostly our focus for the new year.
Awesome. I think that's a good way to go about it too. So that way you're not, you don't feel pressured. You're not rushing anything to, just to have it out there. I think is a good way to go about it.
It's kind of a patience thing. I mean, it is, there's definitely some anxiousness there to release all the material that we're currently working on right now. I don't know. We want to take our time with it a little more just because we really do want to evolve to that next level. And this time around, we really want to take a huge step in that evolution. So I think people are really going to dig it.
No, I think so, man. When you guys have new material, definitely keep us in mind. Love to have you back on and jam some new tunes. Now, I ask every band this, and I talked to you a little bit about this before the interview, that every band always gets asked about how they come up with their name. I want to know the names that you and Renee did not select. Was there an argument about this as well? I imagine you guys had a little...
it's a funny question because, I personally, I had played in a few bands before, Renee and I, and I don't know, the name was always one of these things. It just it felt like such a bigger deal than it is. I told Renee, come up with something, whatever you feel, to just run it by me, and if I dig it, then I dig it. So she just kind of she came up with it. Thinking of being more like a Western standstill, and when she told me it, I didn't think anything of it other than my first impression. When I heard it, I was like, "Cool, yeah, there's the name, there it is," and that was it. Just because it's a band for me. The band's name doesn't define the band, and we get jokes about the name a lot, because when people come out to see us, they're like, you're the furthest thing from a band sitting still or standing still. And right. And it's, so it's kind of funny that way, right? But yeah, so there was absolutely no second name or any other name that we thought of. That was the first and the only.
Nice. Well, cool, man. It's a cool name. It's kind of fitting. It's kind of captures you here. And you're like, oh, the Standstills. And I'm trying to picture, like, people, like, you know, going to a show and be like, oh, the Standstills. Like, they're just going to be, like, statues up there standing around. I'm trying to think. There are people out there. There are actually people that actually would think that. You know what I mean? Like, people take names literally sometimes, you know?
Yeah. That's why it's such a, you know, for me, I always think names are one of those things. It's like, yeah, it's a name, you know. It is what it is. It's the band that kind of defines it.
Yeah, sometimes when I ask that question, you never know what's going to happen or what someone's going to say. And there's been a couple where, like, yeah, we were going to call ourselves, the Bearcats or something, you know what I mean? Some kind of, like, they had a list of, like, 50 names, you know, and I'm like,
yeah,
well done not picking that one, you know what I mean? But
yeah. I could tell you some of the band names that I used to play in, and you'd probably be like, ugh, like, there's some, some terrible names you can come up with. But I've definitely heard my handful of some funny ones that are out there.
You're like, oh, how long did you take you come up with that? I know you guys, you talk about, you know, obviously getting more shows and booking more shows. You guys have some shows coming up here, I believe, actually in the next several weeks. If people were, you know, hear this and they're in the area, where can they find out more information about shows you have coming up?
We have everything that for us that you, any information like shows and videos and all that stuff, we have on standstills.com. And we use that page as kind of like a go-to for our fans. So anything that you would need, whether even if it's like a link to a Facebook or a Twitter or our YouTube account or anything like that, it's always just standstills.com is kind of like that go-to page for everything. But yeah, we've posted it on Facebook and stuff too. And yeah, it should be pretty easy to find, I think.
Yeah, well, we'll also have links on our site as well. So, you know, that way people who hear the interview can directly link to your site and your Twitter account and Facebook and all those things as well. Now, Johnny, I know, I try to always, are you into sports? Are you a movies guy? Or, obviously, being a musician pretty much full time, do you have any other hobbies other than playing music?
I was thinking about this question, and I haven't really been doing anything. I used to play hockey when I was younger because I'm Canadian and that's what everybody does. And, but these days it's just, whenever I have my downtime, I soak it up, man. Like, I'll sit down and like maybe watch a movie or a TV show and then just kind of chill out. I like poetry. I don't know if that, for me, I don't have the attention span for books. I get about halfway, three quarters of the way through. And then I gotta, I'm done with it. And I find poetry for me, it's kind of like a book in a paragraph,
right.
Good stuff anyway. So that's something I do. I like to do on my downtime as well. And drink a ton of coffee.
Right.
That's also something I like to do on my time. That's a hobby of mine right there. Coffee,
yeah. Sugar, cream, or you go straight black with it? Or
It depends on the day, man. Could be a black day. Could be milk and sugar. I never venture away from that, though. I'm never into the cream. It's just it's too much for me.
I have moments where I'm like, man, get like the flavored, creamer or whatever, and then after like maybe one or two days, I'm like, and then it'll just sit. And I'm like, yeah, that was way too sweet. I want my coffee. I want it bitter and
yeah,
dark roasted, But Well, Johnny, it's been a pleasure talking with you, man. And you seem like a really cool dude. I really dig what you guys are doing. And next time, hopefully, Renee can join us. We closed out tonight with a song. The only thing I can find the problem with this song is that it's not freaking long enough, man. That's the only problem with this song right here. And it's good goddamn. What can you tell me about this particular track, man?
It was probably one of the fastest songs we ever wrote. It's one of those ones, you know, like it's, we literally got into the jam space and it felt like the song was finished in half an hour, 40 minutes. And it was one of those things that just felt amazing from top to bottom when we created it. And it was just, yeah, it's like sometimes you get one of those moments, everything is magic and it happens so fast. And that's just kind of what happened with this one. So we still love playing it live. You know, we never really get tired of this one.
Yeah, this is a definitely a awesome jam. And I encourage everyone who's listening right now, this is your cue to crank up your stereo. Well, Johnny, from the Standstills, appreciate your time in. We close out with Good Goddamn here on Revelator.
The Standstills here on Revelator. Really dig that song. And again, thanks to Johnny from The Standstills for coming on the show. Really cool dude. And for more information about The Standstills and this particular episode of Revelator number 46, head on over to omnes.tv. Again, that's omnes.tv. And also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/omnes.tv. Again, that's omnes.tv. You can also find me, Ryan, on Twitter, Ryan_unsigned. And again, next week on the show, we have one of the bands from the Revolver, Hottest Women of Rock and Roll Tour, the band Sick Puppies, will be joining us, so definitely stick around for that. And, you know, we haven't talked a lot of NBA on the show, and we used to talk NBA a whole lot, and, you know, just, you know, with the guests and things, we haven't had a chance to really get into the season, and All-Star break is here. I mean, we're pretty much at the halfway point of the NBA season at this point. And I'll say this, we'll keep it short, and we'll talk about the All-Star game and the All-Star weekend. The teams in the East, it's Indiana and Miami, and everybody else sucks. And the East is weak. soft, however you want to classify it. Not a good conference at all. Indiana, Miami, those are the two teams that are class of the league. Brooklyn will probably end up as the third seed, I guess, just because they've got a bunch of older basketball players that are figuring out, you know, playing together, and maybe they could be a threat. I don't see it. I think it's Indiana and Miami. The West is wide open, and like it always is. You have San Antonio, Oklahoma City, Golden State, Portland, and you know, the list goes on. There's a lot of really solid teams. You know, Houston is a viable opponent. The Clippers, a lot of really good teams in the West that are going to be jockeying for home court, and that's going to be a fun playoff series when the time comes in May. The Western Conference playoffs are going to be outstanding, and whoever comes out of West, hopefully they've got enough left in the tank to take on whoever, you know, because Indiana and Miami are going to mow down whoever makes the playoffs in the East. Because I bet you over half the teams in the East to make the playoffs will be under 500. They're that bad. Some of them even 10 games under 500, and they're probably going to make the playoffs. Just awful conference right now. But All-Star Weekend's coming up, and I know some of you are like, oh, boy, All-Star Weekend. Whoopee, the dunk contest with a bunch of no-names. Well, this year it's not the case. Now, would I like to see Blake Griffin get in it one more time? Would I like to see LeBron James finally get in a dunk contest? Of course I would. You know, who wouldn't want to see those guys in the dunk contest? They're probably the two best physically gifted basketball players in the league. With that being said, there's not a bunch of bench warmers this year. We got some young, up-and-coming basketball players. One, this is being led by Paul George. I think is easily one of the top 10 players in the league right now. A very, very young player is really coming into his own. John Wall, really energetic. Another young player that's really good and fun to watch. And Damian Lillard, also another young point guard. Again, these three guys I think are top 20 in the league. Easy. You put them together. So you get a little star power there, and you have young guys, young star power. John Wall, Damian Lillard, Paul George, these guys are going to be in the league for quite a while. Then you have some other guys that are, you know, that are kind of bench players, but they contribute to their teams, and that's Terrence Ross. Heck, he just scored 51 a couple weeks ago in a game for the Toronto Raptors. So Terrence Ross played at the University of Washington, really good ball player. Harrison Barnes played at North Carolina. Again, he's on a very good team in Golden State, so he's not asked to do as much as maybe Damian Lillard or John Wall or Paul George are. But when you're playing with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and, you know, a host of other good basketball players, as a young player, you know, the weight's a little less on you. You're not asked to do much. You just kind of go in and play your game, and that's exactly what he's done. And also the rookie Ben McLemore from Kansas, who I thought should have been the number one pick in the NBA draft, but it wasn't. So, you know, so some good, you know, young talent and some up and rising stars in the dunk contest this year, which is what you want to see. That's kind of what it's always been about in the last several years. Hasn't been about that. It's been basically, you know, no name guys and, you know, some of the up and coming stars not wanting to take part in it. So it's nice to see these guys have only been in the league 2, 3, 4 years finally step up and say, you know what? Let's get involved here and let's be a part of it. Now, would I take two of those guys out and put Blake Griffin and LeBron James in? You bet you I would. But Paul George, John Wall, Damian Lillard, Terrence Ross, Harrison Barnes, Ben McLemore, pretty good group of guys there, and it should be a pretty entertaining dunk contest. Now, you're looking at the All-Star game, which is coming up on Sunday. Take it for what it is. I mean, it's an All-Star game, so, you know, it's NBA All-Star game. You're not going to see a lot of defense. It's going to be a lot up and down, a lot of dunks, a little bit of showboating. But here's the starters for the Eastern Conference. Carmelo Anthony, Paul George, LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, which I believe is a questionable mark as far as I'm concerned. And I'm a Cavs fan. I don't know if he should be a starter or not. And Dwayne Wade. In the West, you have Kevin Durant, Blake Griffin, Kevin Love, Kobe Bryant should not be a starter. He's not even playing. He hasn't played all year. So the fact that he was voted in as a starter is ridiculous. And Steph Curry. And the Marcus Aldridge, who is having an MVP type year, should be starting. And I think he should be starting over Kevin Love, in my opinion. Now, Kevin Love's obviously in all the commercials and stuff. LaMarcus Aldridge plays in Portland, doesn't get a lot of... I don't think he gets the notification, the respect he deserves as a basketball player. I really don't. LaMarcus Aldridge is a guy who can put up 20-plus and 10 rebounds every night and make it look effortless. MVP-type season. He's not even going to be a starter in the All-Star game. Completely uncalled for there. But, That's just my take on it. But those are your starters for your NBA All-Star weekend, again, which is coming up very, very soon. You know what? We haven't done a NASCAR update in quite some time. The NASCAR season's right around the corner. Let's get a little NASCAR update. Here you go.
Tony, what angered you at the end of the race? What did you take issue with?
What the hell do you think I was mad about? Dumb little
bitch runs us clear down to the infield. He wants to bitch about everybody else, and he's the one that drives like a little bitch. I'm going to bust his ass.
There you go. Meow. This NASCAR up is... There you go. That's it. Meow. NASCAR, man. I love it. But also the Olympics, the Winter Olympics just started. And, you know, a lot of people have actually kind of trashed the Winter Olympics. Like, it's not that exciting. I really like the Winter Olympics. I like the Olympics in general, any sporting event like that. And you get to see sports you typically wouldn't get to see on a regular basis, like the, curling, a biathlon, luging, the list goes on and on there of all the different sports that, the snowboarding, the downhill alpine skiing, just the amount of talent, the speed skating stuff, even figure skating to a certain degree. It gets a little repetitive, but the opening ceremonies, really awkward. I don't know if anybody else felt awkward watching those. And then they had the issue with the snowflake not opening up. And if you follow me on Twitter, you know that I was tweeting during the opening ceremonies. Where was Ivan Drago? That's what I want to know, right? Jesus. You know, and then, like, the whole thing where they, like, went through their history, you know? And I'm like, really? Are we reliving the Stalin years? Just in case everybody forgot about Stalin, you know, hey, it's the Olympics. Let's do a little bit about Stalin because that's part of our history. Yeah, it may be something you might want to leave out next time. just a hunch. You know, and I was tweeting, I was like, boy, it's really going to be awkward when I get to the Cold War, huh? Luckily, they skipped that part. We got to get the Stalin. We got to get the Stalin years in, though. That was important to cover, I guess. And I guess, you know what? You know, you're looking at your country's history. I guess it's important to bring up even the bad. So obviously, Russia's. I guess they want people to believe they've come a long way from then, but I don't know if they necessarily have or not. But a lot of weird stuff. You know, I've seen people tweet pictures of yellow water and, you know, just really weird stuff. I think the strangest thing I've seen was a bobsledder from Canada actually tweeted a picture of an open elevator with no elevator, and it was just a shaft through the building. Sochi Olympics. Unbelievable. But we'll do a medal count next week as we get kind of towards the back end of the Olympics and see where everyone stands. But if you have any Olympic stuff, you find any weird pictures and stuff of Sochi, definitely get at me at Ryan_unsigned on Twitter. I'd like to see him for sure. Hey, Mike, wonderful job as always, man. Next week again, the Sick Puppies will be special guests on the show. Hey, it seems harder to enjoy the finer things in life. Until next time, do so, everybody.
This was episode 46, Rise and Shine with a 4-Foot Smile. For show notes or links to topics discussed on this episode of Revelator, or to experience previous episodes, head on over to omnes.tv, that's omnes.tv, and click on Revelator. Thanks for listening.